Awesome.
Educators, we found ourselves not 4 weeks ago at the beginning of a stretch that is best described as all-inclusive regarding tasks and events that need to be organized, put on, successful to boot, and with results that no matter the increased complexities that lie ahead, you will show improvement. And now at this time, knowing full well that a lot of us out there do not have to worry as much or are right at the end or precipice, if you will, of a shift in gears from fifth or sixth, if you're a high class roadster, to third, which is closer to the speed limit in most smaller towns. In today's episode, we're going to go over some tried and true steps that leaders and educators can take when talking about reversing gears to slow down after the climax of the year, so you can begin to remember that you have a family, you have friends and loved ones, and it's time to reconnect with that part of your life again. My name is Joe Clossy, and I'm your traveling principal, the host of the show, which is intended to bring you all things current and trending in education. And what I see is a bunch of stressed out zombies who just slayed multiple dragons in the last several weeks. And this show is dedicated to recognizing that you did it and how you transition back into finding balance once again. You see, I was recently talking to a leader who I'm proud of for his accomplishments for relocating across the country with his wife, starting a family in some place new, and simply dominating education wherever he goes. And with testing, graduation, scheduling, hiring, restructuring, and all the planning that goes at full speed and at a high pace, now educators need to see that they are there and learn to be in that moment. So let's get started with that notion right there, right? Being in this moment. So what better way to be in the moment than celebrate, right? So first bit of advice I have for you, celebrate. Go on a date. If you are single, treat yourself. Go with a friend. Treat a family member. Do something awesome like right now. I'm not saying you turn in the car, but I am saying this Friday or Saturday, or like most everyone else outside of the education world, go out on a weeknight. Make dinner. Spend time cooking something awesome. I mean, if that's your thing, which it is for me, do it. But treat yourself. Find a show, go see it. If music is your thing, go back to it. You can do that after this show is over. But what's your music outlet? Is it Pandora, Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, which I tried? Create a station if possible and jazz out for a bit in your mind while you listen. Remember that? And on that topic of jazzing out, let me talk a bit about meditation. Now, I've said on this show before, meditation is the opposite of what a school leader has to do all day. So shifting the brain to a stop is really hard, nearly impossible for most leaders that I know and work with. So I'm not suggesting you go and sit on a smooth rock somewhere with the waves crashing in the background while the sun sets and breathe. Although that sounds nice saying it out loud, I am suggesting that you redefine what your definition of meditation is. So entertain this, right? Literally, the definition is to engage in mental exercise, such as concentration on one's breathing or repetition of a mantra, for the purpose of reaching a heightened level of spiritual awareness. Now, that said, if you were into rock climbing, could you not try to repeat your mantra of competitive challenge against the earth while you scaled a route? Could you surf? Could you golf? Could you write? Could you be a gamer? Could you podcast? Am I relaxing my mind nonetheless? I mean, this is therapeutic for me, so absolutely. Absolutely it is. And so the real question is, what is it that you can do to meditate? What is your definition of meditation? And I'm not asking you to do the impossible and stop. I'm saying go and do what you really want to. The impact for leaders will bring you the same peace of mind. And it's a step in the direction that we need to go in post the climax of the school year anyway. What brings you joy today in your life? Ask yourself, is it your kids? Is it a habit that you have? Is it someone special? Is it a sport? Let's go there for a second. I mean, the ability to find a window now to define exercise in your life is open. And what's that look like for you? I always thought to myself, once this is over, I'll go back and I'll get into it again, you know. But the year ends and I drag for a bit. Sometimes I look back and the dragging around the house at the beginning of this summer was nice, but wasted time, sort of, because I didn't do anything. And then I rushed around all the rest of the summer that I did have, with a little bit of haste, a little bit rushed. Get into something at the start and perhaps whittle at it a while all summer. It'll be easier on the pockets, maybe, by spreading it out as well, right? If you have to consistently buy things and 100 trips to Lowe's, for example. And also easier on you physically. It'll probably look better as well, right? Because you took more care and with more caution and did it correctly. I mean, perhaps if possible, organize a weekly something with your work team that includes exercise instead of being on campus. Is that possible if you are still shutting it down or even on a skeleton crew for the summer, let's say? if you have to organize teams to work on something still, plan that out. And in fact, list out whatever else you need to do in order to alleviate the stresses that you have about finishing the year or closing the year down and begin to address them. I mean, in my mastermind, we read Tiny Habits by BJ Fogg not long ago. And the key takeaway was to begin with something small and surround it with support so it grows. What I'd like you to do is figure out what the end in mind is with those areas that are causing you stress and identify what the best possible solution, not just possible, the best possible solution is. Then figure out who you need on your team to make that happen. How long you think that will take to achieve, and divide that up into blocks that can be calendared and begin. I know monumental things are always held at the end, and whether it's a negotiation with staff, a hiring situation, a Bell situation, construction, what have you, the recipe for finding successes is still the same. I mean, you as the leader can foster the grounds for the outcome you know is best for the school and for the students. And that lends itself to always be most advantageous when leading others towards your goal, right? And let's talk about this for a single second because if this helps you transition to lower gears, then eureka. In a negotiation, especially with staff, it's important to actively listen to the concerns and have them clearly recorded by both sides. If you, as the leader, are in a position as an independent mediator or negotiator of the situation because you are not in the union and speak directly to the board or those powers that be on the other side, putting you like right in the middle, or the situation is not about you and you are the leader in the middle, right? Either way, step one, find clarity from both sides. Immediately. Step two, communicate this clearly with both sides and separately. Step three, calendar out meeting dates that allow the conversation to keep moving while you are meeting with each side. The first meeting is to attach purpose. The second is to share points of view. Then the next meetings continue with hearing each points as you go after they're calendared. But don't overwhelm a meeting with too much. Keep it short, keep it positive, keep it productive. Your first three steps are positive in the eyes of each side so far when you think about it. And so if neither have met at this point, because you met with each side individually, went back to each side, and then calendared out next meetings, which would then be with everyone together in step four, the first meeting is with each party present. Guide the meeting with an agenda. Begin with conversation norms and a goal for the meeting, which is to clearly express intent behind each talking point, because this allows for purpose and intrinsic value to become third dimensional, right? It gives like, oh, okay, well, this is just for you know, kind of show, but this is actually real and will provide a lot of value for staff. Some things take precedence in that regard, etc. So those are your first four steps. Step five, record your notes, right, while you're doing this, and follow up with both sides independently, but hear what each other's take is and know the opposite perspective going into this step, right? Because what you do here is you seek to understand and you attach logic and reason to points as the independent person, right? And so when you meet with both sides and you give them your two cents, now you have step six, which is everyone meets one time. Sometimes these fights go on so long because the state of California, for example, is so passive aggressive. And when confrontations arise, people tend to either back down, avoid it, or figure out an alternative way to not deal with it at that time. And this is where emotions come into play because it drags out. Sometimes knowing that voices are heard is a great place to start when in a situation like this. But to downshift mentally, get these issues off your plate by clearly defining what's at hand, explaining to each side individually what they're up against, determining what your perspective is with logic and reason, having sides share what their reasons are intrinsically, and then having sides compromise. I mean, if that's a process that you can navigate, I don't know, I would start immediately if possible. And I know that's easier said than done. So that said, in review, celebrate yourself, celebrate your life, be kind and generous to yourself and others at this time. Reach out and communicate with those that you haven't in a while. Do something physical for yourself. Plan in a definition of meditation that puts you in a happy place, because I could sit down and play GoldenEye on Nintendo 64 forever. This is Joe Colossi, your traveling principal here, trying to get you to downshift the Volkswagen and maybe even pull it over so you can get out and look around a bit. Summer is upon us all, and it's time we allow that to happen. Thanks for all you do in education, listeners. If you didn't have a single student get called to your office this past year, you could say that the kids are great, but you could also say that there's some good teaching and quality leadership at the helm as well. Now, go find a playlist and do something outside already, or get lost in Tomb Raider, because like Bob Ross says, whatever.